This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
And thank you for giving us a listen this morning. I feel quite privileged to be here with you, filling in for Tara this week on WORD. Lee Rogers, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Ryan.
You have to help me because I haven't spent a lot of time physically in South Carolina, but right. How often do you have to turn on your furnace for the heat?
Well, yeah, I mean, it varies because obviously last week we had some what would be referred to as unseasonably warm weather. Up in the 70s again, but that's always winter in some South Carolina. You'll get these days where you're in the 70s, and then just wait a week, and it'll be in the 40s or 50s for the daytime highs. So it's on a regular basis.
Well, I live here in Michigan, and yesterday we had that storm come through. It was these snow squalls in about 50, 60-mile-an-hour winds. There was a 40-car pileup on 75 in Detroit, and I kept thinking, I'm so happy I'm not out in that now. I'm absolutely so lucky to be working from home this week. So frigid temperatures hit upstate South Carolina, and I wondered how often the furnace comes on because, man, the heating bills every winter. And summer when it gets hot up here, too. You get a little bit of a double-edged sword there. You get hit both ways. But I figured your furnace probably doesn't kick on all that often.
Mine does. I mean, if you keep it reasonably warm in the wintertime. So, I mean, it's like it's 25 right now, so.
Oh, okay, it's very cold. Of course you'd turn it on for that. Yeah. You know, I saw that the Democrats are going to cosplay January 6th riot at the House Select Committee. Oh, so great. Coming up here in a few weeks, did you notice that they wanted to relive that, the five-year anniversary for the January 6th panel, so they're going to reconvene and bring all the heavy hitters together of the Democrat party and those Republicans that aren't so Republican in ways. What's this weird? Isn't it weird? It's almost like it's like a Comic-Con for politicians, in this case Democrats. Isn't it one of those things? Yes. They're like going to dress up and play the part for a minute, and it's weird they're doing this, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it is. It is very strange, and what they're trying to do is, to me, is they're trying to change the narrative, or at least verify their narrative of what happened or didn't happen. And to me, there is still a lot of unanswered questions that even some Republicans haven't answered about what did and didn't happen. And I still have more questions than answers about the whole situation. Should it have happened? No. Obviously laws were broken. Was there an over-prosecution and persecution of people for their political beliefs? Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Were there false things that were in the American media about what happened and why? Yes. And I still want to know why you have images of D.C. or Capitol Police or some type of law enforcement who are opening doors to the Capitol building, allowing people to come in.
Yeah.
Now, that has never been explained to me by any Democrat. They won't even admit that it happened. But it did. We've seen the video of it. We've seen people roaming the halls of the Capitol. They weren't, storming it. Now I have seen the images, especially of Ashley Babbitt when she was shot and killed by the D.C. police there, unarmed. But, yes, she was trying to with a group of people who were storming a door there where they had officials and some lawmakers, and I assume law enforcement were there. And obviously you had the officer that fired and killed her. There's just so many questions about that. Once again, I'm not trying to diminish what happened. I know there were people who were injured. I know there was violence against law enforcement. I realize that. I saw that. But there's a lot of other stuff that went on. And then, of course, you got the whole situation where you've got the way that Donald Trump was misrepresented in what he said during that speech prior to that. And, of course, he's suing the BBC for, what is it, $10 billion for their documentary that doctored his statements about that day and time.
That happened over and over. And, well, keep in mind, this is years after. They're continuing to do it.
Yes.
And maybe it goes to show you. In talking about that January 6th panel, and you're right, we have this video evidence of, maybe some inside government workers that were involved with maybe furthering along the riot or planting things.
The whole thing with the FBI agents that they denied were there, but were, and now we know they were, and there were dozens of them
right,
that were within the crowd.
And as part of it, it's kind of interesting because if you were put a panel together trying to put a full report of what happened, you think that you'd want to investigate that. But it goes to show you how partisan really that thing was. It wasn't really about finding an accounting for what happened there as a historical accuracy. It was more of a ability to try to, I guess, find ways to persecute Donald Trump. It was more mostly just another one of the
And it almost seems like it was allowed to happen. Because there was prior knowledge, there was intelligence that there was going to be demonstrations, that there were going to be people coming to the Capitol building. And why in the world on that date did, you know, the D.C. police or the National Guard or somebody not have people stationed there? They knew this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And warned. Yeah.
Yes. So so many questions about that I honestly believe will never be answered because there was – I just think that there was something going on there by the deep state, if you want to call it that, to diminish and demean Donald Trump in any way possible. And I just think there's too many people involved in it, and you're never going to get to the bottom of it.
Yep. So they're getting together January 6th. They're getting the gang back together.
They'll put
a photo together. Yeah, like Spinal Tap. Another thing, and we got a couple minutes. I was going to move on to something else. What do you think about this whole Starbucks closing 400 locations across the U.S.? They said that they're primarily getting out of these large metropolitan areas where they may be oversaturated.
Yeah.
But I think the first thing that came to people's minds, or probably the first thing that came to your mind too, one, when you have heavy pushes for unionization and they're trying to have a barista make as much as, let's say, a firefighter. Okay, maybe some of these things are out of whack. And number two, what about all of these woke politics that go into some of these locations too? It's out of control where where you let the people in the straitjackets run the asylum in some ways. So they said, you know what, I guess we're just going to get out of the business where that's happening. So they're cutting back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what happens. And, you know, there's when you have tough economic times too, you know, why pay for overpriced coffee? So, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, I think a lot
stuff.
Of people.
I like Starbucks coffee, but it's just like it's extremely expensive. And to me, that's a luxury. I just.
Do you have a nice coffee maker at your house?
I have a decent one. I've got I don't have one of those expensive, you know, $400 things that makes espressos and lattes. It's just a regular old digital coffee maker that starts I can program it to start. So when I get up at about 3:30, it's already got the coffee made for me.
Okay. A little timer on it. You know how they say that if you're trying to get into something, buy a value item for it. And if you wear it down to where it breaks, you know, you'll use it enough. So then get a good one after that. They say that with tools. I kind of took that method with our espresso maker. I bought a Black & Decker and it was kind of like a budget intro into it. And we use that thing all the time. Right. When it finally goes, I think we'll buy that $400 machine because we like it so much. Yeah. And it basically gives me no incentive to go out to a Starbucks anymore. If I want to do it, I can do it quicker from home as opposed to waiting in line and paying $8 for it. Yeah. I can just get it whenever I want it. And when I worked from home, I was making 2 espressos a day. I had the luxury of doing that. It was such a huge luxury. It was great.
Absolutely.
Black & Decker.
Yeah.
I forgot they were still around, but, you know, they're kind of a nice little entry level.
I mean, I always thought of them as making, you know, electric tools, you know, drills and stuff. But, I mean, you know, heck, they make a pretty decent coffee maker, too. I've had some.
Yep. So Starbucks has already started to close locations, and they say they're closing roughly 400 stores nationwide in large metro areas as part of a $1 billion restructuring plan, reportedly closing locations in L.A., Chicago, San Francisco, Minneapolis, Baltimore, and a dozen more cities as they scale back there.
That was always the corporate joke about there being a Starbucks on every corner in some of these major cities. And so, you know, oversaturation of the market, that's not surprising.
And I'll just put this out there, and for some of these different workers that are at these Starbucks that kind of like, you know, I don't want to say too much bad things about unionizing or whatever, but what I'm saying is when you overextend your hand mm-hmm. under the guise of saying you're anti-union if you don't go with this, yeah. let me say this. If your store is closing down, go ahead and take it upon yourself to reopen it under your own coffee name and see how easy it is to run that store, yeah. and I yeah. guarantee you'll be out of business in a year.
Yeah.
Based on your own standards, you'll be out of business in a year. If There's
that,
no question about it.
If you
it.
Make it that long.
Probably won't. Who knows if they can even make it off the ground. Yeah. So it's easier said than done. I think for the stores that relied on the corporate floating them, you couldn't do that independently. You'd never be able to make up for it. It's just as simple as that. And they're finding out with the real-life consequences of it. Mm-hmm. Lee Rogers. I'm going to have to go check my thermostat, see if the heat is pumping right now, like a lot of people are yes. listening here. Coming up a little bit later in this hour is a number one Amazon best-selling author, an economic strategist that's going to talk about all kinds of reasons to be optimistic. But why are we not optimistic about the future? I mean, we look at all these different trends, and some of them are looking in the right direction, but people don't feel like it's good right now. So we're going to talk to Dan Veroni coming up later this hour. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Tara. WORD, don't go anywhere.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
And welcome back. Looking at some of the text messages, one said, coffee is very expensive. Okay, I know, I would agree. One person said, Mr. Coffee working good after 15 years. Sometimes these pieces of equipment last longer than what you expect them to, but it does work, so that's good. One person said, use a French press coffee maker. I've never tried the French press, and I got to tell you, I'm a lazy guy, so I use the K-cups when it comes to regular coffee, and then, you know, you just one pod makes you a cup of coffee, you throw it away when you're done, mostly because I drink most of my coffee at work, and there's a coffee pot at work, but when I'm at home, I'm only doing one cup. Sometimes, like on a morning like this, I might do two, but it's not enough for me to make consistently a full pot, so the French press, that's a lot of effort. The K-cups are really easy, and it tastes fine for me. I get that. When I want to make an espresso, you got to go through the full thing and you got to clean the pieces when you're done. It's very intentional. I just don't do that on the run. So I like to have the option, though. One person said Babbitt was murdered by Capitol Police. Roseanne Boylan was murdered by an officer. Okay, so I see where you're talking about some of the instances of that case. Yeah, the Babbitt thing is heartbreaking and, you know, it's kind of interesting. Some people have brought up when you look at the instances around the country and you talk about unarmed people killed by police, why doesn't Babbitt come up in those different conversations? One person said, I've used two Keurig coffee makers, both blew the thermal fuse within a month. The first one had a computer glitch, so they sent me a new one. I had to bypass the thermal fuse, and it's been working great for 3 to 4 years, about 4 to 5 cups a day. Interesting. You're hacking your coffee machine. All right, thank you for the text messages there. You know, we have Mike Gallagher here on the radio station, and you'll hear Mike Gallagher coming up after 10 o'clock today after the show. And what's new on the Salem Radio Network? Scott Jennings, he's on CNN, and he's a big star on CNN, at least on the Republican Party side. And I really like Scott Jennings. I know he does a lot of radio interviews, but he's got a new radio show. And apparently on that show, there's a few things he was talking about, was basically discussing President Donald Trump's efforts to address illegal immigration. And he said that is his biggest fulfillment of a campaign promise in 2025. I would say so. I mean, we've looked at the ability for the president of the United States to use his authorized powers in order to enforce border protections. And in the first term, it was, we're going to save a lot by ending this open border policy. And to do so, we need to protect our borders. So we're going to build a wall. And you had the wall construction going on. And then Joe Biden gets into office and he says, we're just going to let these pieces of metal pile up and then we'll scrap them out, as opposed to finishing the job that was allotted. And we saw immigration run wild, illegal immigration run wild, and open borders and everything that comes with the open borders, the drug trafficking, the sex trafficking, the rapes, all these things. Joe Biden said, let her rip. Then you get Joe Biden into his fourth year, and Joe Biden says, you know what, you know, maybe it looks bad when you have all these bad hombres coming through the border and illegal immigration running wild. Maybe I'll decide to do something about it now. So he goes down and allegedly, you know, this was never fully confirmed, but allegedly cuts a deal with Mexico to try to cut back on some of the illegal immigration so the numbers would decrease in his final year of presidency. It wasn't enough, obviously. It was a false promise. You knew exactly what was going to happen. It was going to be ollie, ollie, oxen free, go ahead and run across the border as long as I'm back in the office for a second term. Didn't really work out that way. People got to see Joe Biden for who he was, an old senile man that was not running the government to begin with, that was hiding on purpose and wasn't fit to be president of the United States. And once that became apparent, he tried to fight it the way old men do and eventually lost that fight. He was pushed aside. And Hunter Biden, and one of the things that he probably was, you know, not lying about, of all the things that he's lied about, one of the things he's not lying about was the Democratic Party forced his dad out because he didn't do it willingly. I think that's pretty clear. So Democratic Party puts Kamala Harris in, the same person that couldn't garner any sort of support to begin with. And ultimately, she loses all the swing states. Donald Trump becomes the president again. And immigration becomes in the forefront. He says this is something that is needs immediate addressing. So he tackles it in a couple of different ways. He tackles it by securing the border through military, border patrol. He does it by deporting and people that overstayed and people that have orders and people that are not here legally. He goes actively trying to find, and particularly singling out the ones that have committed crimes. That's a big priority in that sense. Not all of them, but that's a big part of it. And on top of that, he says, you know what, we're going to also de-incentivize the money that is coming across. And it's an industry for them to make money by smuggling things into the United States. So let's go bomb these drug boats, too. We're going to fight this on everything that's coming into the country that shouldn't be here, that are hurting Americans. We are going to stop that. And it's been quite effective. So when you look at Scott Jennings come out and say the biggest fulfillment of the campaign promise in 2025 was addressing illegal immigration, I would say, yeah, I mean, like, absolutely. I would say that is even more important than trying to settle up some of these wars overseas, because if you want to put America first, it's a good side runner up. If you're trying to rank the things that were accomplished, you could say the economy, trying to get inflation under control, growing GDP, trying to settle things with tariffs and negotiations with other countries, trying not to get ripped off, bringing jobs back into the United States. That's all very important. But having what we saw was just a flood of people entering the country illegally, and I have no doubt in my mind, influencing elections and using some of the relaxed laws that were in place in some of these Democratic areas, I have no doubt in my mind that played a factor. You can debate how much of a factor it played, but any of these liberal politicians that said it's rare and never happens were lying to you. And I think we're going to see with these big demographic shifts that it's going to play a big part in the midterms next year, and you're going to see very clearly how much illegal immigration did factor in. You're going to see that practical, actually practically applied. So, good for Scott Jennings. I might have to listen to his radio show, see how that's going. But when we come back, a lot of people are down. They're saying, hey, the economy is not great. I'm still paying a lot of money. Inflation's out of control. But the numbers disagree with that. So we're going to talk to an economic strategist. Why is optimism low? We'll continue. Coming up on WORD. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop, assemble, and bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome back. If you want to reach the show, it's easy for you to use the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line at 800-905-0989. Joining us now is a economic strategist, Dan Veroni. Thank you so much for coming on this morning.
A pleasure to be here, Ryan. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. So ending 2025, there's a couple of things that are happening. We have gas prices that are coming down, and they're at a pretty good spot right now, all things considered. You have good unemployment numbers. GDP is growing. If you look at your 401k, things are looking pretty good. Inflation is lower than they thought it would be. There's a lot of good signs that are coming out, at least the economic indicators from 2025 as we get ready to end the year. But if you talk to people, their optimism is so low. They are not happy whatsoever. Where's the disconnect, do you think?
So, Ryan, I think the disconnect is in the following. So when you look at where everyone has been in the last 4 to 5 years, we had inflation climb to 9.1% in the prior administration. We had regulations climb to a total impact of $1.4 trillion. People were getting squeezed at the food store, at the gas pump, when they went to any of the local business, small businesses, any of the big box stores, because prices were a lot higher. And I think that people are concerned that that reality is going to stay with them. But as you indicated in your opening, things are beginning to change. And the one figure that you did not mention is something that is going to augur very well for the job situation in 2026. That is, capital investment is up by double digits. And small, medium, and large companies are making big investments, and they're going to require more workers. And we're a 70% consumer-driven economy, and that's going to help the economy get, you know, more than get on its feet.
When you talk about capital investments, here's what I normally think of. So if you're a business and you're going to invest in, you know, one of the big things that Donald Trump wants to do is if you're building anything overseas, bring it back to the United States. Car companies, that's a big part of it. One of the big famous ones is General Electric, GE, coming back and building their appliances back in the United States again. These are all good things. But when you talk about these type of investments, it doesn't necessarily translate into, let's say, more money for the company. Right? They're reinvesting in themselves, not necessarily building the company. That means things could be more stagnant in that sense. So won't it take some time before we start to see the economy grow based on these things you're mentioning?
Actually, no, and I'll tell you why. So I've done a comparison between the big, beautiful law and the Reagan tax cuts. So the Reagan tax cuts were signed into law July of 1981. They actually didn't go into effect of January 1983. What's more, those tax cuts were staggered over 3 to 5 years. What this new tax law does, so everybody in the beginning of the year is going to see a larger paycheck because the withholding rates are going to be lower. They're
right.
going to get a $1,000 to $2,000 tax refund. They're already seeing the difference at the pump. They're paying less, which means they've got more money to spend on groceries and bills. You can go out and purchase a new car, and you're able to deduct the interest. For people who get tips, there'll be no tax on tips. What's more, the fact that core inflation was 2.6 when those numbers came out for November, those numbers are going to continue to fall, as will gas prices, as will food prices. So the impact we're going to see is immediate. I think we'll see it in the first quarter, but we'll really see it kick in the second, third, and fourth quarter. And what I mean by that is that small businesses especially, and they create 2 of 3 new private sector jobs. They are going to invest or utilize the big, beautiful law, the 100% write-off for new plants and equipment, and they will need new people. They will hire new people. And what I'm suggesting to you is that the dynamics are in place for what I think will be, at the very least, a 4% economic growth year.
Wow. You know, we just talked to a friend of mine, someone that is in Midland, Michigan, a professor, and also works on economics. He said 3.8 to 5% is what he's estimating. So you're not alone. There's a lot of people thinking that we're going to see some huge booms next year. That is huge. I mean, so what kind of impact will that truly have for the United States of America? Because there's a lot of things that we're facing right now. We got a lot of debts. We could have another government shutdown. We're not subsidizing Obamacare, and that could lead to even more problems, things like that. So there's some things working against it. So what can you anticipate, some of the indicators that you're pointing to, what will that look like by, let's say, this time next year? And what kind of overall impact do you think that'll have for the United States?
So I think that every economy has headwinds. You know, there may or may not be a shutdown. And whether there is or not, I think the dynamics are in place for what will be strong economic growth. And there's no denying it, because when you look at it, there's between $200 and $300 billion worth of stimulus that'll come through tax cuts back in the economy. And the other thing that we haven't talked about yet is the Trump administration is aggressively engaging in a massive regulatory unwind. That in and of itself is going to lower costs, and that will give more people spending power.
Mm-hmm.
So I
yeah.
think when you take that and the tax cuts, I feel very, very good about the U.S. economy over the next year. I think that a year from now, if you or I are having the same conversation, we could be saying, oh my God, this year worked out even better than we anticipated.
I hope. I hope for those things. You know, it's so fascinating because anything could change, barring, let's say, something catastrophic like, you know, we saw during COVID. And, you know, I hate to bring it up, but things were booming when President Trump put his policies in, coming up on the, you know, end of the third term into the fourth year, or third year, rather, of the first term. And you saw things were great, 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 great. And all of a sudden, boom, worldwide problem. We started issuing these stimulus checks. It took us back, and it took us years to recover. So, barring something unforeseen, there's a lot to be excited for. I guess if we're optimistic about 2026, we're in good company. It seems like things are really ready to hit where Trump visions it to be.
I think that we're absolutely ready to do that. If you were to say, you know, is there a concern that I have? The answer is it's with the Federal Reserve. In this, they've cut rates by 75 basis points. It was not enough. In September and early October, I wrote 2 op-eds. They were on Real Clear Politics. And I said that the Fed needed to cut interest rates by 150 basis points, and here's why. So for my book, Rethink Economic Growth, what happened was is that I interviewed 35 small business people, and we did a survey and had a few hundred responses, and the answer was, we need access to affordable capital. And essentially, the rates are still too high. They're between 3.5% and 3.75%. We want to get them to 2.5% to 3%, because if we do, small businesses will invest like it's going out of style. But the Federal Reserve needs to cut rates in 2026 by another 75 basis points. Now, I'm concerned about the labor market. There is deterioration there. There are layoffs there. What I think brings the jobs market back is another 75 basis point worth of cuts, and because the job growth will come from small businesses. 99.9% of the companies in this country are small businesses. They generate 45% of U.S. economic output. Jobs growth is going to come from small businesses, and right now they're not adding jobs, they're cutting jobs. We want to get small businesses back in the driver's seat to drive the U.S. economy. And that's going to come with another 75 basis point worth of cuts from the Federal Reserve.
Right. All right. When you mention your book, by the way, you're a best-selling author through Amazon. Where can people find that?
They can find it at Amazon.com, or they can find it at Amplify Publishing. It's available now, and I think especially for the small businesses in your listening era, they will get a lot of value in it. There's 12 industry case studies, 35 different small business owners, a lot of great insights, and there's a roadmap for them to follow to really help leverage their own policy agenda so they can continue to see business growth.
All right, Dan Veroni, you can find him online. And thank you so much for talking about the economy. You've made me feel better this morning. All of a sudden, you know, my spirits are uplifted thinking about what could happen in 2026.
That's great. Things will go well. I wish you and all your listeners a happy, healthy, and wonderful 2026.
Oh, you as well. Thank you, sir. I'm Ryan Renker, filling in for Tara. If you want to reach the show, the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 800-905-0989. Don't go anywhere on WORD. Ryan Renker on Twitter, Ryan Renker Radio on Facebook. Or maybe you just want to text the show. That's a good way to reach it as well. I'm reading the text messages as they come in. So the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line at 800-905-0989. I saw this clip yesterday that started circulating around. The clip is from Dr. Phil interviewing Cheryl Hines. Cheryl Hines being the wife of RFK Jr. If you go back to this past election, you remember that RFK Jr. ran for president, then independent, then joined forces with Donald Trump. Whatever that meeting was, whatever it happened, I don't know if Charlie Kirk was involved or not, but there was some unifying going on as opposed to splintering the party. And I think Donald Trump made a good deal with RFK Jr., meaning join me, I'll let you make America healthy again. And something that RFK Jr. has fought for many years. And we see some of the ramifications of that, people flat out rejecting his pushback on some questionable things when it comes to our health. But there are some very simple changes that he's recommended that are going to make some pretty big and positive changes to America as a whole when it comes to our diet. And in some ways, it's just adopting some European standards and not allowing some of this garbage that was deregulated for all these years to say, you know what, we really don't need some of this stuff. It's even these little things will make a big difference. Now, how big of a difference may be exaggerated on their front, but I don't care. It's a step in the right direction. So during all of this, you have RFK Jr., and he's getting a lot of heats, and a lot of people hate him, and particularly Democrats and liberals. You have his wife, who's a Hollywood actress, Cheryl Hines, well-known, Curb Your Enthusiasm being the more recent well-known. And she's come out and she talked about how Republicans, when RFK Jr. was running for president as an independent, Republicans were the nicest people to her, people that were not going to vote for him but vote for Donald Trump. They were the nicest to her. And it was liberals and Democrats that were absolutely the meanest. I mean, terrible, terrible, terrible to her. And she said that's the way the Hollywood mindset was. It was an eye-opening revelation for her about the difference of how the two parties treat people. So fast forward now to a sit-down with Dr. Phil and Cheryl Hines describing something that happened during the campaign trail. I remember seeing articles from TMZ and some of these other websites that suggested because of his politics, she was distancing herself and was going to divorce him, meaning they're separated because she can't stand him, right? That was the impression these articles were giving, that look at this. She can't believe what her husband has turned into, that monster for trying to make people healthy again. Well, let's see what Dr. Phil approaches this subject and what she has to say about it. I found this really interesting. All right, let's press play here. All right.
You said he even offered a fake separation if he thought it would help.
Yes.
Did you consider that?
Well, it was, things got really intense. Yes. I didn't consider it, but you're talking about when, during COVID, when Bobby was speaking about vaccine safety, and he wanted to see the studies where the COVID vaccine was safe. He had feelings about it being mandatory. He had feelings about the shutdown. And they weren't always popular, especially in this town.
Yeah. And so fascinating to think that RFK Jr., and I look at this as a husband and wife. Let's say that for whatever reason, you know, I'll just take myself as an example, and not did I anticipate this happening. Let's say I become the biggest radio talk show host in the country, and all of a sudden I say something that's controversial and people start hating my wife for it, who's completely unrelated to my takes on things. Would I say, honey, in order to take some heat away from you, do you want to fake that you're separated from me and that way they'll leave you alone? I understand as a husband, you want to do everything you can to protect your wife, and you love your wife, and your wife loves you. And when you're in the public eye and you're an actress and people know who you are, I think that could change some things. I know that the story leaked because I remember it being a headline, but for her to say, I never considered it because I love my husband, gives me a great deal of respect for those two. That he was willing to do that, and she was not going to step away from her husband. I love that. To me, that's very touching and tells me a lot about their character. I'm Ryan Ranker, filling in for Tara on WORD.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.